Welcome to the Real Estate Pros Podcast, the weekly show for real people in the business of residential sales and property management. Ready to talk insights and inspiration with today's guest, here's your host, Josh Cobb.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Real Estate Pros, the weekly show for people in the business of residential sales and property management. I am your host, as always, Josh Cobb, and today I'm going to be speaking with Natalie Leslie, the Managing Director of Elders Real Estate in Ballina, New South Wales. Natalie is going to share with us her background in the real estate industry, why she and her husband Steve relocated to Ballina from the North Shore of Sydney, and we're going to discuss a recent mystery shop report that included 138 offices where Natalie was the only agent who asked for a phone number, and the only agent who followed up the initial inquiry. Natalie is as real as they come in the real estate industry, and I know you're going to enjoy her passion for customer service. But before we catch up with Natalie, I have another discovery I'd like to share with you this week. So let's do that right now.
Today's show is brought to you by Real Estate Dynamics, the industry leaders in property management training, consulting, and rent roll and agency brokerage. Find them at realestatedynamics.com.au.
This week, I'd like to tell you about a really great tool called Grammarly, spelled G-R-A-M-M-A-R-L-Y. And what this tool essentially allows you to do is check all of your grammar and spelling wherever you are writing on the internet. It has a standard portal where you can copy and paste your text into for the checking to begin. Or the next step is to go and install the Chrome plugin, which allows you to check all of your writing in real time, no matter where you are on the internet. So if you're on social media or writing your next blog article, Grammarly follows you around so you can correct any mistakes on the fly. It's free to join, and they have a paid option as well for around, I think it's $100 per year, which gives you a few extra options. It's a great tool for any business, and I encourage you to go and check it out. Go to www.grammarly.com, G-R-A-M-M-A-R-L-Y.com, and try it out for yourself. And with that, let's transition into this week's interview. I'm excited about introducing our guest today, Natalie Leslie, the Managing Director of Elders Real Estate in Ballina, New South Wales. Natalie has won multiple awards for her attention to detail and expertise over the past 18 years. She established a successful real estate agency with her husband, Steve, on the North Shore of Sydney, where her dedication, professionalism, and enthusiasm has been acknowledged by the Real Estate Institute of New South Wales, including Property Manager of the Year and Property Management Office of the Year. Natalie prides herself on being at the forefront of this ever-changing industry and now lives and works with her husband, Steve, in Ballina, New South Wales. Natalie, I've given our listeners just a brief overview, but take a moment, tell us a little bit more about you personally, and then give us an overview of your business.
Okay, I've now been in the industry for a little over 20 years, as much as I loathe to admit that. We like to promote that we've been in the business 1 year 20 times, not 20 years.
keep coming back.
Yep, keep coming back because we love it. Stephen and I live on acreage out of town here. We've got three gorgeous children, 14, 11 and 8, so that keeps us pretty busy. What else can I tell you about me? Real estate is our everything, and then our kids are right up there with that.
Natalie, can you describe for our listeners where Ballina is located, for those of who may not know, and what it's like working there in the business of real estate?
Yeah, Ballina's very, very different from where we started. Ballina's on the far north coast of New South Wales. We're about an hour from the Gold Coast and 2 hours from Brisbane. We've got a major airport, about 6,500 homes, 30,000 people. So it's not too big of a place, but big enough to keep us all busy. Working in real estate up here is very, very different. Coming from Sydney, it's a lot more relaxed, a lot more making friends rather than the formalized, I guess, management that we did in Sydney. You're a lot closer to your clients. Everything you do hits the grapevine within minutes, and everyone in town knows what's going on. So that's good and bad. It's good. It's been good for us in that providing a high level of service, it's passed around very quickly, and clients talk to each other and people walk in the door, which is great.
I bet. And why the move from Sydney's North Shore?
I'm born and bred in Sydney, and Stephen had been there most of his life, and we just felt Sydney had its time for us. We'd achieved quite a lot, and our we had two girls at the time that were 4 and 2 and, you know, about to start school, and we decided that we didn't want them to be schooling in Sydney. We wanted to get out of town. We had family we regularly visited up here and just always loved it, so decided to bite the bullet and make the change.
And you were saying in our pre-chat interview that it took you, you got a little bit tired of the having to travel 10 kilometres that took you an hour and a half or something like that.
Yeah, an hour and 15 minutes. It would take us to do about 10 k's down Epping Road there in Lanco. you know, up here we're doing 80 k's and it takes us 20 minutes, 80 k's an hour, it takes us 20 minutes to get to work. So, yeah, just... I guess that comes back to family and the kids and the time you spend away from them, just literally sitting in a car. Whereas up here, they, you know, can walk the two blocks from school into the office, do homework out the back while we work. You know, it's just that really great family lifestyle, I guess.
Well, you better be careful with what you wish for. You might convince everyone listening to move up to Ballina. So
like I said to you, they can invest in Ballina.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yep. Anyone listening, get in touch with Natalie and Steve at Elders Ballina. Natalie, yep. Your husband Steve looks after the sales side of the business and you're involved predominantly in the property management side. And I know there will be a lot of people listening who would be in a business or know of a real estate business where the husband and wife team is the go. We spoke in the pre-chat to this interview about you both focusing on your strengths and sticking to that as a way of moving forward. What are a couple of the main things that Steve and yourself focus on to move the business forward by working together but in separate departments?
For us, the culture of our office is absolutely the top priority. Because property management is my core business, I have never allowed that separation, I guess, between sales and property management that does regularly occur. And Stephen and I, just the communication between us keeps the two departments together. So our business flows as one sort of whole entity. Harmony and communication in our office. We've got a fantastic team. We laugh every day. We just have a great time coming to work. We don't have any of the competition, I guess, that goes on in some offices between the departments and the my department's better than yours. We're one big team, and that's been our main focus.
Fantastic. Well, Natalie, you were recently one of 138 offices called in a mystery shop report that was done by Real Estate Dynamics. And out of that 138 offices, you were the only person who asked for a phone number and the only person who followed up on the initial inquiry. Now, the reason I know this is I was working with the team at Real Estate Dynamics at the time, and I was the person who made the call to your office. So I often use this story in my presentations as a wake-up call to people in real estate about the lack of customer service in so many businesses. Can you explain for our listeners some of the minimum standards you have in place around customer service?
It gobsmacks me every time you bring that up. I just cannot believe that there's so much complacency. If you want business, you have to go get that business, and you can't get it if you don't ask for a phone number and follow up. We have a minimum standards that are signed off by all of our staff as to time limits on returning of phone calls, returning of emails, turnaround of applications, turnaround of bond claims, terminations, things like that. So we're pretty strict on ensuring that those systems and processes are followed and that those standards are kept to. We also have one other little idea that I picked up along the way that we, by each phone in the office, we have a little card, and it's called a standard of politeness. So the whole thought behind it is to make everyone think when they go to pick up a phone call. So the first step is smile before you answer the phone. It also has things on there, you know, treat people the way you would like to be treated. Just little reminders like that to remember that you're dealing with people in a very emotional state a lot of the time, and that it's vitally important that they walk away from Elders Ballina with a great feeling, regardless of what we're dealing with or what we've been talking to them about. So that all comes back to that culture that I was talking about earlier. But everyone knows our vision. Everyone knows the direction that we want our office to go in. And I've actually got a funny story
Go ahead, share.
My receptionist, I was sitting out the front desk while she was popped out for some lunch, and she's come back from lunch with some hot chips left in her box and asked if I'd like to share the chips. I said, oh, yeah. So I've grabbed two out and I've eaten it at the front desk. And she said to me, Steve will sack you if he sees you. That's first rule of our office is no eating at the front desk. So it's things like that that everyone knows exactly what we expect.
So it was a test.
It was a test and I failed and I got hammered by my front desk girl.
But who says no to some hot chips, right?
Well, true. True. So that's sort of how we control our – we're just open and honest with everyone at all times and the whole team knows our direction and what we want to do.
And you call it the standard of politeness, was that right?
Yeah, standard of politeness is our little card that we have beside our phones.
I think it's a great idea and anyone who's listening who hasn't got something like that in their office, I think that's a great takeaway from what you've just said, Natalie. We spend so much time in business looking for a point of difference when in fact good old customer service can be your point of difference, can't it?
Exactly, yeah. And it's tough to sell when you're out there, say, at a market appraisal because everyone's saying the same thing. But we have a service guarantee, which I'm more than happy to say, Josh, you put me onto.
Oh, fantastic.
So we guarantee that service and we actually write in there that you will get a return phone call within 2 hours and you will get emails within 4. So... and it's achievable if everyone knows what they have to do.
And sometimes that's all the point. You know, we spend so much time looking for other points of difference in, I guess, our marketing and our advertising. But at the end of the day, it's the customer experience that's the real point of difference, like you've alluded to, Natalie.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you tried mystery shopping out yourself?
Yes, I only did it about a week and a half ago with my competitors.
Great. What were the results?
Again, the word gobsmacking comes to mind. We did 3 of what would be classed as the largest agencies in town, being that they've the 3 big ones that have been here for 25, 30 years that, you know, run off a lot of what I thought was a lot of referral business. Not a single person asked for my contact details in any of those offices.
Wow.
I was able to get 1 prospectus or 1, profile for the property management department. One office even said, and they said the same thing 12 months ago when we did this, was that it's in development at the moment. They don't have anything they're able to send me.
Wow.
So the complacency in the area just astounds me. They're just running off the 30-year reputation they got, not their actual quality of service.
Mm. Well, I think if any of your competitors are listening to this, look, I think it's great, Natalie, and I'm a big fan of mystery shopping, and we were just talking in a previous episode with Doug Driscoll from Star Partners about mystery shopping, and he's a big advocate for it as well. I think it's a sobering experience. And what was it like for you when we sat down in your office some 18 months ago and shared with you the results from your office? What did you think?
It takes you a little by surprise because you feel exposed that someone is, you know, you're used to selling yourself, I guess, to a prospective vendor or a prospective landlord, but to have someone from inside the industry who knows what's going on actually check your office out it's an interesting experience, yeah.
But at the same time, Natalie, it really comes down to how you interpret the results. You can either act the victim and sort of be defensive about it. But on the other side of things, if you actually take that to use it to improve your business, which is exactly what you've done, yeah. It can have such a positive impact, and I congratulate you for doing that.
Yeah, and that's why we mystery shop our competitors sort of every year is how can I compete and how can I improve my services if I don't know what everyone else is doing. So it's vitally important to just keep abreast of what's going on around me, not so that I can, try and keep up with the Joneses, so to speak, but so that I can ensure that I'm continuing to grow and develop my business as well.
Sure. And can I just ask, some people listening may be thinking, look, yes, we want to give mystery shopping a try ourselves. We just don't know what to ask. So can you share with our listeners maybe just some of the overarching questions or some of the things that you were looking for in those phone calls?
Yeah, absolutely. We ask for what they believe their point of difference is. We try and get information on how many properties per property manager are being looked after in the office. We see how quickly they'll cut their commission. So asking, you know, pushing the... And it's interesting, nobody ever hesitated to give the commission rate out, and everyone would cut their commission within 3 minutes of talking about it. So we also try and get information from them, so some sort of takeaway to see what they're promoting themselves as. So I call it a prospectus. We ask whether they're available to see, come out and see the property the next day. I actually have one agent that told me, no, I can't do anything for a week. I'm flat out.
Wow.
Yeah, so that I think that's a good one to see whether they are actively trying to grow their rent rolls, you know, gives you an indication. In our area, we do not have any BDMs. So it's property managers that are taking these phone calls, and that's where I think the biggest problem is.
Absolutely. Well, Natalie, if I can shift gears just a little bit, we often hear the 20,000-foot view of someone's success in the real estate industry. But here on this podcast, I want to take it down to that ground level of actual moments in time where you've either failed or succeeded. Can you tell us a story, take us there with you, of a moment in time in your career where you felt like you'd failed? Tell us what happened and how it made you feel.
I can actually tell you the moment because we only opened this business a little over 3.5 years ago. And Steve and I were sitting in the car on the at a local beach saying, we've stuffed it. It's gone. We have to give it away, not even sell it, just to survive personally. So we made the brilliant decision to open a business right in the middle of a GFC. In our first 6 months, it started off with an absolute bang. We had 2 sales within the first 6 weeks. With the rent roll started building, everything was great, but then we had not a single sale for 6 months during that 2011 period.
Wow.
By Christmas, and thinking Santa wasn't going to be so generous this year, we were really, really in a bad sort of state emotionally and just on how we were going to get through all of this and the 3 kids and everything. So it really did feel that we made a really bad decision for our family and our lives, and it was all over. It took 1 sale to turn that around. I think that sort of our mental attitude was all it needed was something to happen. At the time, I think I had 35 properties under management, and that 1 sale came through between Christmas and New Year. And, we haven't looked back since.
Wow. No, I think that's – and I think a lot of people will probably resonate with that story, Natalie, and around that time might remember what they were going through as business owners during the GFC. But I think if it's one thing that we can take out of that for both Steve and yourself is the word perseverance. You just kept going, didn't you?
Resilience. I think it's also given us a bigger appreciation for the importance of our property management department, and I think it's done that for a lot of principals during that period, that, you know, the sales can go through those, you know, ups and downs, but getting that property management to cover your overheads to keep you through those periods is vital.
So what I hear you saying there is that without the property management department, things may have not been so rosy.
Well, yeah, absolutely. We, at that time that we were about to give up, we had 30 properties. It just got us through. And that's now obviously grown well beyond that. And, yeah, so if we hadn't have put that time in that first 6 months to start building that management department up, we wouldn't have gotten through the no-sale period.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's take it to the other end of the spectrum. Can you tell us a story that sticks out in your mind of a moment where you felt like the formula you had in place was the right way to grow a real estate business? And again, take us there with you to a moment that stands out. What happened? What was going through your mind at the time, and how did that make you feel?
I've got a couple of stories on this one. I've been thinking about it a lot since you said you were going to bring this up. But one of the most recent was only 2 weeks ago. I had a gentleman walk in the front door of the office, sit himself down and say, you know, tell me why I should bring my properties to you. And when we got into it, he's got a block of six units. And when I got talking to him and to find out why he just walked in our front door, it was a referral. So for me, that is the most rewarding thing, is to have a client out there tell someone else, go to Elders because they're awesome. And that's literally what this person did. And that does happen quite often. But if you want to get into the awards and things like that, you know, last year's Elders National Awards, you know, getting called up there 3 and 4 and 5 times, that's pretty special moment to sort of have people recognise and acknowledge the hard work that you've put in. And you know, I feel pretty successful every day I get up, and it's, you know, I can't wait to get into work. But, I guess that would be my biggest moment.
Yeah. No, fantastic. Yep. Fantastic. And, well, look, let's shift gears just a little bit again, Natalie, mm-hmm. and the three biggest challenges every person in real estate faces when marketing their services is either creating awareness of their brand, generating leads, or increasing loyalty and advocacy of their current clients. Can you give our listeners an overview of your marketing strategies, technologies, and philosophies behind solving some of these challenges?
We're very, very fortunate to be a part of the Elders franchise. With brand recognition in our area, it's huge. The biggest agencies around us are the Elders offices. The reason we took up the Elders franchise 3.5 years ago was because the brand had been built for 30 years by another office that switched franchises, which I believe may have been regretting ever since, probably shouldn't say that. So we're fortunate in that Elders, it's the actual brand does a lot of that work. The marketing strategies for the brand recognition is done by our head office. In town, like I said, we're a small town, so that grapevine is just rampant. So it is keeping those minimum standards, the office culture, being a happy, friendly place. We quite often get people walk from, you know, agent to agent down the street and come in and go, oh, thank God, just smiling when we walk in. So that is, I guess, how we grow our brand, is just by being the happy agency. It sounds so lame, but...
No, not at all, yeah. Not at all. And I think if we were to ask that same question to a lot of agents, or whether it's business owners, salespeople, property managers, business development managers, doesn't matter who it is, Natalie, but if we were to ask that same question to the real estate industry at large, I think you'd find that a lot of people would say around marketing and advertising, that sort of thing, of ways that they're, you know, using what might be, you know, digital marketing or offline marketing and all sorts of different strategies. But really what you're focusing on and what's most important to you is the culture, the feel around the office, and that as a point of difference as opposed to tactics, if that makes sense.
Yeah, exactly. And just that reputation and the referral business is vitally important. I mean, technologies, you know, as well as anyone, I embrace everything. It comes back to that 20 years, 1 year, 20 times. I don't want to be that property manager that's been in the industry forever and knows how it's done and never changes the way they do things. So we embrace, you know, Inspect Real Estate, Inspection Manager, REST, FileSmart. We take on board everything we can to not only make our jobs easier, but to give that better quality of service to our owners. So the instant feedback that comes to... with Inspect Real Estate after an inspection, the reporting to the owner, the, you know, the thank you SMSs to the tenants, our condition reports sit at 60, 70 pages quite often, and that's, you know, Inspection Manager that allows us to do that and put the photos in, and just ensuring that we're ahead of the game, that we're not sitting back and being complacent about, well, I've done this for 20 years, I know what I'm doing.
And you've been in the industry for how long now, Natalie?
20.
20 years. And every time we meet, it's always, you're always looking at different ways to improve your business. And a lot of people, especially in the property management department, so any property managers who are listening, who have been in the industry for a long time, who say, this is the way it's, I've always done it, this is the way I'm going to continue to do it. I think, Natalie, they can take some motivation from yourself, that that constant reinvention and constant looking for ways to improve the business and implement new technologies and systems in the business is tantamount to the success that you guys are achieving. So I think if anyone takes anything out of that, I think that is exactly it, is that constant reinvention.
Yep, exactly. 1 year, 20 times, not 20 years. So, yeah.
Well, Natalie, thanks so much for your input so far. We're about to hit the fast five, where I'm going to ask you five quick questions and get you to come back with five quick answers. But before we do, we're going to hear our fast fact of the week. This week's fast fact comes from the 2014 Edelman Trust Barometer, which is a study done each year by public relations firm Edelman, where they ask tens of thousands of consumers around Australia and across the world who they trust and why. And what they found this year was that only 48% of Australians trust business, and that's down 7% from only 3 years ago. They also found the public perceives family-owned companies to be more trustworthy than any other business type. I think it's a timely reminder to take stock of what value we're all providing to our clients in order to earn their trust. I'm keen to hear what's working for you. Drop me a line via our website, Facebook, or Twitter. Well, Natalie, we've reached one of my favourite parts of the show, where I'll ask you five quick questions and get you to come back with five quick answers. Are you ready?
Yeah, I am.
Fantastic. Name one person who's been an inspiration to you throughout your career and why.
I've struggled with this one because I've got a lot of people that inspire me. Every day my husband inspires me. I know that sounds corny, but he reassures, he keeps me on track, he keeps me going. There's people out in the industry that inspire me, Michelle Williams, Stacey Holt, people like Andrew Reeves. I think he's just outstanding in his enthusiasm for the industry. Chris Rolls and Jason Wright, what they've done is just incredible.
Jason Rose, you mean?
Jason Rose, sorry.
Yeah, yeah, no, that's okay. He won't forgive me. He's a good friend. He won't forgive me if we don't get his name right.
No, I just think they're amazing, and I look at them every day to see how I can try and improve my business and achieve the same results.
No, fantastic. And what is your favourite thing in the world to do when you're not in the office?
I'm a bit of a book nerd. I read and really dorky books too, so just things that take my mind away from, you know, the pressures that we have. Also, I've got three kids, so I just don't stop, and a house that we're renovating. So, yeah, that's sort of what I do.
What is your favourite business book that you've ever read and why?
Probably How to Win Friends and Influence People, Dale Carnegie. Got my iPad here in front of me with all the books on it, you know, things like The Alchemist, just another one that, I mean, I don't know whether you class that a business book, but I think everyone in the world should read The Alchemist, Paulo Coelho, if I said that right, that's outstanding. So, yeah.
I think How to Win Friends and Influence People has been a recommendation a couple of times on the show already, and we're only up to episode 8 or something. So, yeah, if anyone hasn't got a copy, that's certainly one to go and get.
Download it, yeah.
What is your favourite technology resource you use daily to help you run a better business?
I don't think anyone in this industry can live without their phone, their smartphone, their iPhone. I just got my iPhone 6. I'm very proud of it. That and my iPad. It means that no matter where I am, I can stick to those minimum standards by getting those return phone calls, emails, keeping in contact, making sure things that in the business are running the way that they should, and just being in that constant availability, I guess, which can be bad, but it makes things happen the way they, to the best of the, you know, standard that I want.
You're using technology to fulfil that standard of politeness.
Yes, exactly, yeah.
Natalie, it's often said that the success of a real estate business is measured by how many properties they sell or how many properties they manage. If you had to choose one thing, just one, that prevents people in real estate from achieving success, what would it be, and what would your advice be to overcome it?
I think ego, a lot of the time, is a big one. people who get complacent because of their ego. They believe the business is going to come to them. They believe that they don't actually have to work hard. My advice is to always just stick to the basics, continue with those levels of service or the minimum standards that you've set for yourself, not just in your office. And, you know, yeah, getting back to the basics, get out and prospect, get out and chase the business, not sit back and believe, hey, I've achieved everything in my life. It's just going to come to me now.
Great point. Well, Natalie, I have one last question for you to leave our listeners with some motivation for the week ahead. What's your favourite success quote and how do you think people in real estate can relate to it?
I struggled with this one. I've got a lot. but I have to say the biggest one would be, he who loves his work never labours.
Yes.
That's Jim Stowell, who wrote The Ultimate Gift, which is another book that I think everyone should read. I've made my kids read it. If you love what you do, you're going to be the best at it.
Well, listeners, you can find all of the great resources that Natalie shared with us today by visiting our website at steps.com.au/Natalie Leslie. Well, Natalie, on behalf of our listeners, I'd like to thank you for your time, knowledge and advice today. I know that people will really resonate with the stories that you've shared. How can people get in touch with you or find more about you and Elders Ballina?
I'd be more than happy if anyone wanted to give me a call, mobile 0408 477 395, or flick me an email at natalie@eldersballina.com.au. I'm always happy to just help, be a sounding board, whatever people need to keep motivated.
Natalie, thank you so much. Thank you.
No worries. Thanks, Josh.
Well, that's it for this week. Thank you so much for joining me. If you do enjoy the Real Estate Pros podcast, we'd love you to head over to iTunes right now and leave us a review. And if you did or you didn't enjoy today's show, we'd love to hear from you about how we can improve, because at the end of the day, this show was all started to help you, the Real Estate Pro. Next week is our last show for 2014, and I'll be joined by Hazley Cush from Ray White New Farm. I hope you have a great week ahead, and I look forward to having you join us for the last show of 2014 next week. Bye for now.